Kumlen Rablat Gemara, we are up to Dav Kuv Chav Beis Amar Aleph by the Mishnah. We're concluding today, Perek Kol Kisrei. So the Mishnah says, Nochri a goy, shehidlik es haner. If a goy lit a candle, the din is you're not allowed to ask a goy, as we learned last time, you say you're not allowed to ask a goy to extinguish the fire for you, but nor do you have to stop him if he wants to extinguish the fire. So we're continuing on the theme, what you're permitted to have a goy do. You're not allowed to instruct the goy, but if a goy did it, can you have any benefit from it? So we generally say if he did it for you, you don't have any benefit from it until after Shabbos and until Kedei Sheyasu, which means if it would take an hour to prepare, you have to wait an hour on Motzei Shabbos, so you shouldn't have any benefit from it, because we are concerned that if you are going to benefit, you can use it right after Shabbos, next time you will formally instruct the goy to do it for you. So even if the goy did it on his own, on your behalf, we're worried that you're going to tell next time to do that right, because people didn't take this law so seriously. It's only a Yisur Derabbanan. So therefore, you have to wait Kedei Sheyasu. The question is, if the goy did it for himself, and there's left over, can you benefit from it? So the question really boils down to, is the goy doing it for you as well, or not? So we have a concept, Neile Echad Neile Meyer. There are certain activities, whether he knew you wanted it or he didn't know you wanted it, didn't make a difference, because if he wanted it for himself, he had to turn the light on, and it doesn't matter how many people are going to benefit from it, it's the same light. But if it's a question, let's say, of preparing food or preparing something, that if there's more people who want to benefit from it, he'll prepare extra, then even though he's doing it for himself, he's also doing it for you. So that's a difference in certain activities, as we will see. Says the Mishnah, Nochri goy shehedlik esaneh, he lit a candle. Mishtamesh la'oyro Yisrael. A yid can benefit from it because he didn't do it for you, and you think we're not having benefit from what a goy did. However, v'im bishvil Yisrael, if the goy did it for you, then aser. Even though the goy did it on his own, it's still aser, because next time you're going to ask the goy to do it for you. Milei mayim, if a goy filled up water, let's say there's a pit, a cistern out in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim, so drawing water from the pit. The pit itself is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, so the pit is Rishus HaYachid. Drawing water from there into the Rishus HaRabim is a haitzah, an isa deraisa. And the goy now filled up water, lahashkeh behemtei, to feed his animal, which needs a lot of water. Then, mashkeh achrav Yisrael. A yid can feed his animals, allow his animals to drink from that as well, because the goy did it for himself. But even b'shvil Yisrael, but if the goy did it for the yid, then obviously, usr, it is usr. There's a difference, certain activities, when we say it's usr, it's only usr for the person that was done for. And certain activities say it's also for everybody. And Teisa wants to make a delineation as follows. If it's an Isa Doraisa, then if a goy did it for a yid, not only this particular yid is also to benefit from it, but no yid can benefit from it. But if it's a chakal, it's an Isa Derabbanan, then at least other yidin can benefit from it, rather than not just the person. The only one that cannot benefit from it is the one was done directed for. But everyone else can if it's only Isa Derabbanan. Then another big machlekes Tesis here brings another Rishayim, when it says that another yid can give to his animal to drink, but if he did it for a yid, it is aser. That it's only talking about give your animal to drink. If he did it for you as well, you're not allowed to give it to your animal. But what about you yourself to drink from the water? So Rabbi and Tom hold that since you yourself, if you don't really benefit from what the goy did for you, because you wanted, you could have just gone straight to the cistern, put your head in there and drink some of the water for yourself. So where you don't benefit from the goy, even though the goy did it for you, you're allowed to have enough from. And the Gemara here is talking about to feed your animal, which obviously you couldn't have done. And other Rishonim hold that makes no difference if you could have done it on your own. The fact that if the goy did a malacha to benefit you, you cannot have any benefit from it. Okay, so the Mishnah gives two examples there, a candle and filling a border. Then the Mishnah continues, a third example. You're on a ship, and you landed on Shabbos, and obviously it couldn't have been outside of the Tchum, because then you couldn't get off, disembark on Shabbos. So it must be that it landed right before Shabbos, didn't have a chance to get off yet. Also, Nochri Kevesh Leidaboy. So the guy, he built his own ramp to disembark. Yoidit Achar Yisrael, the Yid could come off, use that ramp as well. Because the goy did it for himself, so meanwhile you can benefit from it. But the im bishvi Yisrael, also, if the goy built the ramp purely for you, then it's forbidden. Maisa bring a mule was Kenyan Makil and his elder Shay Boy was still traveling on the ship. Also Nochri Kevish later boy, the Goyman saw a ramp to go down. The Yord the boy and Gamul is Kenyan. Gamul is Kenyan went down. Because he didn't do it for them, he did it for himself. Says the Gemara, Tzricha. So why, basically you have three cases in the Mishnah that are saying the same thing. The Goy lit a candle for himself, you can benefit from it. If the Goy filled up water for his animal, you can benefit from it for your animal. And if the Goy built a ramp for himself, you can benefit from it. So what's the point of having these three cases? So the Gemara, Tzricha, we need all three cases. If we only learned the case of candle, I would say, you know why candle, you can benefit from it? Because Rishum Dinele Echad Nelem Lemeyam, he did nothing extra for you. That's, first of all, the Goy did it for himself. And he did nothing extra for you, because even if he would have done it for you, he wouldn't have done anything more than what he did for himself, which is the light one candle. Neil echa neil mea, candle is good and sufficient for one, sufficient for 100. So therefore, you can benefit. Avol mayim. But when it comes to water, you want to, if he did it for himself and he has excess water, you want to use it. Maybe we should make a gzeda that maybe he'll get extra water next time for you as well. Because you need extra water. The water for his own animals is not going to go on to you, pass on to you. He has to bring extra water. So, Ligzer, Vilma Osela Fushe, Bishvil Yisrael, if we're going to allow you to benefit from it, maybe next time the guy will add some more water specifically for you. We would think you'd be Geizer, and the commercial may not. Since he did it for himself, and there's extra water he allowed to, as long as he did not do it for you. And yeah, the Kemish, Suluchayde, sounds like the Gemara that, but it could have said just the case of Mayim. We don't need the case of Ner. In other words, the Mishnah is going Loizu Avzu. Not in this case, but even this case. But the Rav, about the Batanun and others learn, it works the other way around as well. We would have thought that maybe a candle, you could tell the Goy, by the way, have me in mind, because it really makes no difference. I would have thought that you could tell a Goy to have me in mind. Kamash Lund, the Mishnah the other way. That even though it's a candle, Nelech and Nelemeya, the only time you can use it is if he did it for himself. If he did it for himself and he did it for you as well, then it's forbidden. The Kevish Lamli, okay, what is the case of the ramp ad? So you must say, right, nothing. Mai said that Rabbi Gamliel was Kenyan Kamashlam. Whenever there's a story, that story is stronger than just saying halacha, because halacha can be theory. Story shows you that this is how people behave. So we wanted to introduce a story, and that's why we brought the ramp. In halacha, nothing was added. Talk about me learned. Nochri a goy shaliket asavim. If a goy went ahead and cut grass for his animal, and he collected grass for his animals, machil achol of Yisrael, anything left over, he could feed to a yid, his behemoth. So if, you know, it has to be achrov, because first the goy has to use it for himself, otherwise it looks like a trick. And then the leftovers a yid can use. Ve'im bishvil Yisrael, but if he'll chatchila collected for the yid, then asur. Milei mayim lahashkes behemta. He filled up his water to drink his own animal. Mashkach Yisrael, he could drink afterwards. Ve'im bishvil Yisrael, did it for the yid, asur. Ahmed, what is all this talking about? She'ein makire. All this is talking about that you don't, that the goy doesn't know you. Aval makiroi osa. But if he knows you, it's osa. So right now we think, why if he knows you is osa? Because he probably did it for you as well. He had you in mind just as much as he has himself in mind. And that's forbidden. So the Gemara, that's pshat. Ain't he's not so avam. Rabunam chaninam. Mamid odam behemta agabe asam b'shabes. A person is allowed to take his animal and graze on grass, and the animal can pull the grass out. There's a special heter. We have Lamanya Nuach, that you can rest, the animal can rest and graze on Shabbos. And we're not worried that maybe you're going to pull grass out to feed the animal. Because that's no way to, you know, they go out to pasture and they graze in the grass. Avaloi agabe mukse b'Shabbos. But you're not allowed to, let's say, grass that was pulled out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take the animal and bring them to that section because it's mukse. Why is it mukse? Because before Shabbos it was attached, so it was removed from your mind. And we're scared that if we're going to bring the animal to cut of grass, here you might pick up the grass to feed the animal. And that is mukse. So we don't want that to happen. We're not worried that you're going to cut grass out really to feed animals. This is the raisa. But we're worried that you're going to take mukse and pick up the grass that wasn't the cut before Friday and now it's there, that it's mukse, it didn't have a mind, and you'll pick it up and feed the animal. So therefore it says, you're not allowed to, so you're not allowed to go with that. So how come over here by the goy you're allowed to? It says the Gemara over there is talking about the koyim lo ba'apa. You stood in front of the animal that it shouldn't go anywhere else, but azlav achla, and it went and it eats on its own. So you don't steer the animal in any particular direction. The animal goes and eats it on its own. So we're not worried by the grass that you're going to pull it and give it to them, because the animal is going there really on its own. And all you're doing is by standing in front of the animal, so therefore you're directing the animal. But the question is, how can the yid take from the goy's grass? Because the goy, this grass is muktzah, like any other muktzah. We just said that you're not allowed to take your animal to feed from grass that was cut off on Shabbat because muktzah, and miskid, you might feed it. So how can you use the goy's grass? That grass was just picked this morning, so it was muktzah. How can you do that? So the pshat is that not that you're going there and you're taking the animal and putting it on top of the grass that the goy cut it off. You're standing in front of the animal, and the animal on its own goes to the grass that the goy cut off and eats it. And that's all right. Says the Gemara, you said before, Amamar, when do we allow to benefit from a goy? Only if she'ein b'medra amurim, she'ein makir, the goy doesn't know you. So therefore, the goy didn't do it on your behalf. Abba makir, yasa, but sound like maybe the goy knows you, then we suspect the goy did it for you, and therefore it's asa. So l'chari on the ship, ain't he's not so, because in this story of the ship, they were spent a few weeks together from Eretz Yisrael, traveling to Rome, or wherever they went, so because they used to travel quite often to Rome, so they got to know each other. So it was a makira. So how can a gemil use the plank? Was an acquaintance of his, because they were going to spend some time in the ship together. So makira doesn't necessarily mean it to be friends. Makira means he knows you, you're familiar. Amalabaya shaloi befon of Hababaya answers, you're right. When he built that plank, the goy, Rabbi Gamliel, wasn't around. So you can't say he did it for Rabbi Gamliel. So according to Abaya, if he wasn't there present, that's enough. Rava Amar afilo teimu befon of, even though he was there, ne'er le'echad ne'er le'meya. Since the goy had to get off the ship as well, so he did it for himself. And once he has that plank over there, everybody can use it to disembark. So therefore, it's not like he added anything for him. And so the question is whether Baye really argues with Rav on this whole principle of Neil Ech and Neil Meya. So Rabbi held that if Rabbi Gamliel was standing there, then the Goy would have had so much respect for Rabbi Gamliel, being the Nasi, that he would have actually done it for Rabbi Gamliel rather than for himself. Or he would have thought more about Rabbi Gamliel than about himself, and that would have been a problem. So therefore, Rabbi says, in this case, Rabbi Gamliel wasn't there. Rabbi says, since the person had to disembark, he definitely did it for himself. Otherwise, how would he get off the boat? So there, even though he had respect for him and all that, it's still right, because Neil Ech and Neil Meya. Says the Gemara, Meisel has a question. It says in the Braisa. Gemul said, "Hoyul shloib b'fenenu asu." The question on Rava, since he built that the ramp over there, we weren't around. Neither, but let's use it. Sounds clearly like Abaye that the only reason why he used that plank is because they weren't there. The ramp. Ema, someone said no. So Rava changed the words around. Hoyil v'asu, since he made it, take away the word shalai b'fenenu, because that's not important. Nated boy, we can go now. Since he made it for himself, we can use it. Toshma coming here, it says, Idashi Yisrael v'nachon dorm b'teichav, the city, Eden and Goyim lived there together, v'hoyis v'mechel the bathhouse, hamar chetzes b'shabbos, that works throughout the Shabbos, so we say like this, and he heats up. Im roiv nachim, if the majority of the people are goyim, so it's heat up for the goyim, mutter lichet bo, you can go ahead and wash miyad straight away. Now, it doesn't mean on Shabbos, you don't wash on Shabbos. It means mutzai Shabbos, you don't have to wait day shiyasu, because it's definitely heated up for the goyim, so you can go straight away in and enjoy it. Im roiv Yisrael, but the majority of Eden, then yamtin, you have to wait. Why? Majority of Eden, it's as if it's like a makir. It's as if he knows the Yidden, even though he doesn't know anybody personally, but he's doing it for the Yidden, and therefore you have to wait Matzoi Shabbos as long as it would have taken to heat up, so you have no benefit from what he did. Because the din is, even if the goy does it for himself, if he does it for himself and for you, it is also. So the question is very simple. Now the question is on everybody. First of all, it's loy b'fonav. Kasha and Abaye and Eden weren't around, so how come according to Abaye you have to wait to Kadesh Yasu? And according to Rav as well, and you Rav say, even if he knows you, if you neila echad neila meya, if it makes no difference, you have to heat up the water anyway for the goyim, then it should be all right. So how come you have to wait Motzei Shabbos if most of the majority of people there are eating? Says the Gemara, "Hosam ki mecham adaita the rub mecham." It's here's not the case in Nelech Lameir, because Nelech Lameir is he does it for himself. Meanwhile, he's not benefiting. Here, he's doing it for the whoever the majority of the customers are. If the majority of the customers are Eden, he's definitely doing it for the sake of Eden. And that is definitely, because the Chil Shabbat that's being done is doing on behalf of Eden. But a case of an individual Goy and a Yid, when the Goy does it for himself, then according to Baye, if it's labor fund, if it's permitted, and according to Rava, even the fund was permitted, because Nelech Lameir, once he did it for himself, it doesn't matter that you benefit from it. The way Rashi learns, he makes some achlekes out of Abaye v'Rava, and according to the Tosfos, they're not arguing. Just in this, that case of Gamliel, Abaye felt that he would have done it for Gamliel's sake had he been standing there. Toshma coming in. Neir hadol mesibah. There's a candle being burning in a gathering of people. Imroiv nachim. The majority of people are going mutter. A lot of lishdamish later, he could benefit from the candle light, from the light, because he did it for himself. Ibroiv Yisrael. The majority Yidden. Aser, it's aser. Again, majority Yidden aser, and it's leib afonov. And he did it for himself as well. Masa machsa asa. So that's the same thing. Hasanami ki madliku adaita the ruben madliku. If the majority of the people are Yidden, they're definitely doing it on behalf of the Yidden, and that according to everybody is asa. Neila echa neila me only works if he does it for himself, and you want to benefit from it. Shmuel ikla lebe avin turun. Shmuel once came to the house of avin in the city of Turun. Asa hu gochria, goy came along. Adlik shraga. He lit a candle. So Shmuel did not want to benefit from it because he thought he did it for the Yid. So Hadrina Shmuel Ape. He turned his face around. Kivon the Chazer the Isis Star. He saw that the guy pulled out a document, the Kokori, and started to read it. He realized the guy did it for himself. Omar Adaita the Ashid Azlik, he lit it for himself. Ahadrinu Iyo Ape Gabe Shage. He turned his face back towards the candle because the guy did it for himself. Then you're allowed to have Hana from it. Gnele Echad Nele Meir. Hadna lo kol kisvei nastas kol hakelim. Kol hakelim is a pedik that talks about the laws of muksa. So we have the concept of muksa, something that was muksa means literally removed from your mind. There's a number of there's all kinds of muksa, but the most famous ones are you have. Well, basically what happened was initially when Ezra and Nehemiah came to Israel and saw how lax the Yidden were, in fact, lax is the wrong word to use, how non-observant they were, in fact, how ignorant they were of the laws of Shabbos, of Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur, of Judaism, they decided to go all the way out. So initially, they asked everything. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to touch anything. And not only you're not allowed to touch things which are forbidden, you're not allowed to even touch a klisha malach telheta. You can't touch anything. And it was very onerous. And once they trained the people to this idea, then they started relaxing the laws. Now, why muktza means we don't want you to touch certain things on Shabbos? Why don't we want you to touch certain things on Shabbos? So the Rambam gives three reasons, and the Raiva gives a fourth reason. He argues in all three of the Rambam. But basically, the Rambam says, because the whole idea of Shabbos is to rest, and if you're going to be able to move things around the whole time, what kind of rest do you have on Shabbos? Another reason he gives is that if somebody's unemployed, doesn't do much a whole week, how's he going to show the difference between Shabbos and the new week? So there we have muktza. And the third reason it gives, which I think is actually number one, that if you're going to pick up these instruments that are generally meant to be used for something usher, you might end up doing the malacha that this instrument was made for. And we don't want you to do the malacha. The Ravid says that, and I told you this last time, the Ravid says no, that the whole idea of muktza is, it's called tiltul movement, it's hoitza. If you pick it up, you might walk outside with it and carry it. That's what the issur of muktza is. So we have that we can learn right here. We can have a thing called muktze machmas iser. A klisha malachtel iser. There's a klisha malachtel heta and a klisha malachtel iser. A klisha malachtel heta means a utensil or a vessel that's specifically, that generally the work that you do with it is permitted. A fork, a spoon, a knife. You eat with it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's called a kli, but malachtel heta. And we're going to learn that you can do whatever you want. You can move it around whenever you want. Even let's say it's raining, you don't want to get ruined, you can bring it inside. Except according to Rav Nechemia. Rav Nechemia holds that even a kli, you have to have certain reasons to move it. You can't stand the world moving around. Then you have a kli shemalachta leis, like a hammer. A hammer, we are much more particular about a hammer. And with a hammer, we say that you're not allowed to move it around unless it's letzoyder gufoy or letzoyder mekoyme. Letzoyder gufoy means you're going to take the hammer but use it for a permitted use, like as a paperweight. So what do you do now with a hammer? Is you're using the paperweight. So it's all right. It's a permitted use. Or letzoyder mekoymoy, which is it's sitting on the table and you need the spot to put a plate on. So you're allowed to move it around. Then you have mutzim machmas gufay, which means it's not a keli, rocks, dirt. Because they're not a vessel, they're not a utensil, you now move them on Shabbos, even letzayit of gufay, even letzayit of mekayim, you now move them on Shabbos. Because it's, then we have another concept called mutzim machmas sarn kis. If you have an instrument, but it's very, very expensive, so people generally will not use it for any other use other than, and the example is given is like a diamond cutter, the knife that he uses to, a schleifer, the instrument that he uses to shape his diamonds, he won't use for anything else, it's so expensive. Or like a challah for a sheichet. And therefore, that, the tzeret gufay doesn't help a tzeret mekayim, it's a much higher level of muktzah. Now, generally, a muktzah on Shabbos is a machlekes, Abhuda believes in all kinds of muktzah, and Abshimin doesn't. So now, Abshimin agrees to neilid, which is another kind of muktzah, something that emerges on Shabbos that wasn't there before. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah. That was just an introduction, so you'll understand the Gemara. Says the Gemara, kol hakelim nitolim b'Shabbos, any vessel can be moved around on Shabbos, vidal seisei any moim. And the doors, let's say you have a box, the door attached to the box, you can move them on Shabbos. Why? Because they're considered part of the box. Afapishin is parku, even though it was removed, let's say during the week, the Board of Shabbos Gemara will say, we'll take it out. Even though these doors were taken off the kelim from the hinges. During the week, you're allowed to move the ramukta because they're primarily there for the keli. It's not like the door of a house, which if you take them off the house, they become mukta because they're not really meant to be moved around because it's not really a vessel. Mashenkin, a vessel is portable and it's movable, and the doors belong to the vessel, even though they've been detached, are still movable because they're bottled to the keli. You can't compare them to the doors of a house. If the doors of a house are not there ready, suddenly they're prepared to be moved around. Neutral Adam Kunish, you're allowed to take a hammer, right, which is a cliche of a lach talisa, but to use it, lefatzeh basagoizim, to crack nuts. So you're using it for permitted use. Kardim, you're allowed to take an axe, lach the boys at vela, to cut up a dried figs, because now that it's all dry, it's pressed together, and you need it, something very strong to separate them. The gidi, you're allowed to take a saw, loga basagvina, to cut cheese. And so you're allowed to take a saw to cut cheese. You're allowed to take a magrifa. You're allowed to take a shovel. Ligrabos agregis to dig up all the dried dates, the dried figs. Then you're allowed to take a sarachas with a malge. These are like a rake, a pitchfork. Losses all of the cotton. You're using a permitted use. Why? What are you doing with it? You're going to put food at the end of that rake or the end of that pitchfork and pass it to a child or pass it on the other side of the river. So you're allowed to do that because, again, you take all these klishim malach talisa, you're using it for permitted use. You're allowed to take a sakush and a sakakar. These are different parts of the weaving machine. They're like a stick with a pointed edge on the end. Litchev boy, to stick it into a fruit and to pass it on to somebody. Machat shel yad, a needle, little boy is a kites. You're allowed to use it to take out a splinter. We said because it's tzar, you're allowed to do that. And again, you're using the kli shemalach talisa because a needle is meant for sewing and so on, which is forbidden on Shabbos, but you're using it for permitted use. The shel sakoyim, if you make sacks, liftoya boy is a delis. You're allowed to take the needle of a person who makes sacks and use it as a key to get into the house. Get into the house. Said the Gemara. It says in the first words in the Mishnah, it sounds like all the kelim can be taken, even though it was dismantled on Shabbos. It sounds like, even on Shabbos, which means during the week, even though it got dismantled on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it together as if there's a chiddush on Shabbos. On the contrary, if Shabbos it was attached in the beginning of Shabbos, then it fell apart on Shabbos, it's a much easier way to use this. It's not muktzah. Rather than during the week, it's a bigger chiddush. Even though if Shabbos came in, it wasn't attached to the vessel, you can still hold it. So what do you mean, afapin Shabbos? You said afapin during the week. But if it happened during the week, they're not attached. It's not, you're right. This is how you should read the Mishnah. Kol hakelim nitlim b'Shabbos. All the kelim can be used on Shabbos and moved around. Vidal says, say anymore, and the doors with them. Afa pish and esparku b'chol. Change the word around that even though, or say, a word is missing. Even though it was dismantled on the weekday, nitolin b'Shabbos. They can be moved around on Shabbos. Talk about we learned. Delas shel sheda v'shel teva v'shel midol. The door of these three different kinds of boxes, nitlin can be taken. Avalei marzin, you can remove them on Shabbos. from their hinges, but he cannot put them back. It sounds like taking them apart, which is known as stira. Dismantling it is all right, but destruction is all right. Construction is not all right, which you're always going to find a problem with, because we know that the flip side of construction is destruction. And if one is forbidden, so is the other. If one is permitted, so is the other. So what's going on here? We'll soon see. V'shalul shatana goylem, a chicken coop, lay nightly in the door, you cannot remove, or lay machzin, and you cannot put back. Because putting it back is like a binyan, and taking it apart is stira. I don't understand. When it comes to the chicken coop, I understand why he says it's forbidden. Remember, we had before a discussion if there's binyan by portable items, if there's binyan bekelim or not. But bekarka, something that's fixed, like a house, then definitely if you add something, you're building. So I understand the chicken coop is something that's fixed. Kivon demechabri ba'ad, it's attached to the ground. Yesh binyan bekarka, so if you add a door, you're building. And yesh nida bekarka, if you dismantle it, you're destroying. I understand that. When it comes to these three boxes, what does he hold? Why does he hold dismantling is all right and putting it together is not all right? Doesn't make sense. Mikasava, what does he hold? If he holds yesh binyan bekelim, that there is a concept of building when it comes to kelim, therefore you put the door back, that's called binyan. Then automatically yesh tira bekelim. If you remove the door, it should be considered stira, destroying. The yain stira bekelim, you tell me there's no destroying my kelim, then I binyan bekelim. Then there's no problem putting it together either. Amr by Elam really Kasavi behold his binyan bekelim, and he holds the yesh dina bekelim, and you read it wrong. Not that you're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. Ushenit lekamat, if it was removed even on Shabbos or whatever is removed, you can put it back. There's no binyan bekelim, so therefore it doesn't mean he holds there is binyan bekelim, and therefore you're not allowed to remove it. But he's just telling you here, if it was removed. You're not allowed to put it back because it's binyan. But you're not allowed to remove it either. Says Rav, I have two problems. First of all, the wording is totally wrong. I'm going to have a statue without two questions. Number one, the nitlin kali. You're telling me it should say as if it was removed. It doesn't say that. It says nitolin. You're permitted to remove it. Sounds like there's no problem of destruction. At the same time, there's a problem of construction. And it needs an explanation. Your vote is no right. It's not right. V'oid, my but aval loy marzin. It sounds like, but don't put it back, as if to say, you're allowed to remove it, but don't. The but sounds like this you can do, this activity is permitted, and this activity is forbidden. What's pshat? Elam alava, because somebody holds, ain't binyan bekelim, there's no binyan bekelim, there's no stira bekelim. So therefore, you're allowed to remove it. So how come you're not allowed to put it back? Ugzeid Hashem b'yitaka, because if you put the door back, we're scared that you're going to make it very tight, and put in nails and screws and all that, and that's called makah b'patish. So we're worried about, you'll complete another malacha. There's no binyan bekelim, but there is makah b'patish. That's why it's forbidden. Said the Mishnah further, noitel adam kunish, you're allowed to take a hammer, amar avyudah kunish alagoyzim, you're allowed to take a hammer. He says, when it says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to use a hammer, not like you think the way I explained, but talking about a hammer that you knock your nails, bang your nails, a klisha malach talisa. Klisha malach talisa is awesome. We're talking about a special nutcracker. This is, you're allowed to use a nutcracker or a nut hammer. The Mishnah is talking about you're allowed to use a hammer that is specifically set aside to knock nuts, crack nuts. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And why? Because it's a klisha malach talisa. That's what it's used for. Avol shanafachim, but from smithies, where the hammers are mainly to be used for isur, like because somebody holds dovashim malach talisa, a kli which is primarily used like a hammer to construct, which is forbidden on Shabbos. Afilu l'tzara gufa, you don't move it at all. Even l'tzara gufa, even if you want to use it for a permitted use right now, it is forbidden. For sure is forbidden. It's even worse. Omle Rabba says, Rabba, if you can learn this well, Miata Seifa, it says in the end, Diktoni ve'esarachas v'samalgeis, you're allowed to use this rake and you're allowed to use this pitchfork. Or the rachas really is a shovel they use for, you know, either for the ovens to clear it out or to move the wheat around, throw it up in the air. And a malgeis is generally a rake or a pitchfork. Loss says, all of the cotton, you're allowed to, you know, put some food on the ends and pass it on to a child. Now, tell me, what the way you're learning it is only if it's a klisha malach lehita. How would you use a rake or a pitchfork or that shovel for permitted use? Rachas or malgeis mimiyachde lelekotten. Nobody uses that generally to feed a child with a pitchfork. So, what permitted use can it be? The way you're learning pshat. Says Rabba says, I'll tell you what it's talking about. We're talking about a kurnes shalafochit. We're talking about a hammer that is as a klisha malach talisa lefatzeya boys. Yet you're permitted to use a hammer, which you generally use for construction. So l'chayde, it is a kli shemelachta li'isir. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, and what else is a smithy going to use it for? And you're allowed to use it for permitted use to crack nuts. Kesavri holds dover shemelachta li'isir, that's something which is dedicated for isir, l'tzayde gufi mutter. But you're allowed to use it for permitted use. Eisve abayla rabba, Sabaya asks his teacher a question, meducha, if you have a mortar, and normally you use it to crush, you know, garlic or other things, so which is usher to crush on Shabbos, so it's a kli shemalach tali isr. It says here, im yesh bo shum, if there is some garlic attached to it, then metaltlin oisa, then you're allowed to move it around because the main thing is the food, and the keli becomes bottled to the food. But im la, but if not, ein metaltlin oisa, you cannot use it for any purpose. Even if you want to use it for permitted use, you cannot use it for every purpose. Why? Because it's primarily being used to do a malacha which is forbidden on Shabbos. So we see clearly from here, a kli shemalachta li'isir, even if you want to use it for permitted use, doesn't help. Amalei, you're right. But hamani lam nechemia, you know the author of this braisa says am nechemia, who goes further than everybody else. He holds that even a kli shemalachta li'isir, the amar ein kli nitel, he holds that no keli can be moved, only for its main purpose. He holds that even a fork, which is a kli shemalach tel hetzer, you can only use it for food. You cannot use it for any other purpose. So if he holds a kli shemalach tel hetzer can only be used for its purpose, then he would hold a kli shemalach tel iser cannot be moved for any other purpose than its primary purpose, which is iser, and therefore you cannot move it at all. But we don't paskin like Nechemia. We hold a kli shemalach tel hetzer, you can move it for whatever you want, for every reason you want, even not just for food. So kli shemalach tel iser, you can also move it if it's done in the oifen of the tzedek heter. So therefore, we don't agree with him at all. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.